From the Lean Enterprise Institute in Boston, this is the WLEI podcast, where we share stories of people making the world better through lean thinking and practice. For more information about LEI, including how we can help you apply lean thinking, please visit lean.org.
Welcome to another episode of the WLEI podcast. I'm your host, Matt Savas, and today we're talking about how to develop problem-solving skills across an entire workforce, in this case, a huge workforce of 35,000 employees at Ohio Health. And joining me are Emily Sweeney and Ellie Culp. Emily is the Senior Director of the Lean Promotion Office at Ohio Health, and Ellie is a Senior Advisor in that Lean Promotion Office. They'll be sharing how Ohio Health is working toward that goal, developing 35,000 problem solvers from leadership to the front line, through things like daily management, cascading strategy, and a leader assessment tool. Emily and Allie will lead a learning session on this topic at the Lean Summit this March 19th and 20th in Carlsbad, California. If you're interested in joining us, there's still time. Head over to lean.org/summit to learn more. Now, let's jump into the conversation. Emily and Allie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us, Matt. Yes.
So we always get started with just basic background, give our audience a sense of who you are and what Ohio Health is. So we'll start there with some basic introductions. Maybe Emily, can you begin with just a little bit about yourself and what you do at Ohio Health?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm the Senior Director of the Lean Promotion Office here at Ohio Health. And I've been in the healthcare continuous improvement field for just short of 15 years and currently have the honor of leading our department, which has 10 super talented individuals. And our goal is really to be able to progress our organization forward in our lean journey.
Okay. And Ellie.
Yeah. So I am a senior advisor working on the same team that Emily leads in the lean promotion office. I've actually been in healthcare for almost 11 years, but I suppose a little uniquely started my career at Ohio Health as a bedside nurse. So I am a registered nurse by trade, so to speak, and got involved with continuous improvement and a little bit of lean back in 2016 and kind of snowballed from there, fell in love with it, figured out how I can impact our patients on more than just the ones I'm taking care of day to day, if looking through our culture, the processes, our system, so on and so forth. So the rest is history.
So started out on the clinical side and now working on the lean side of things. I do want to give a little bit more background about Ohio Health. When we spoke earlier, it's a big health system. I think you said it has 15 hospitals, 200 ambulatory sites, 35,000 employees. So very large organization. And Ellie, you mentioned the CI journey has been going on for some time, but Emily, maybe you can walk us through what the lean journey has been inside of Ohio Health.
Yeah, so our department, we actually launched back in 2006, which is pretty early for continuous improvement in the field of healthcare. But at the time, we had a really heavy focus on just removing waste from the organization. And so, you know, we occasionally would focus on removing process waste, right? So we might do a process mapping event or rapid improvement event. But the majority of our team's focus at the time really was spent in the project management arena. And so we would manage a lot of really large scale system-wide cost savings initiatives. And then fast forward 10 years later, so in 2016, we hired in a new vice president into our organization. He had oversight of our team, and he came in with a lot of lean experience, which our team really benefited from. And so at this time, our team underwent a complete transformation and rebranding. So we very intentionally left behind our association with project management and even our connection to finance. And we flipped over to using that Shingo model as our true north. And it was a really fun time for our team because we kind of had this new mission of how do we actually become a team that's focused on creating a culture of 35,000 problem solvers. So since this time, that's really been our primary focus. And in order to drive us towards that, we focused on implementing a management system that our organization truly relies on in order to be able to drive progress.
So 35,000 people, that's a huge number of people to turn into problem solvers. Your lean team, I can't remember how big it is. What is it, 15, 20 people or so?
11, including myself. Yeah.
Oh, great. So that's a tough ratio.
Including Emily.
11 to 35,000. So ambitious goal to develop problem-solving capability across that size of an organization. Can you walk us through how you go about doing that? Kind of what's the basic operating model?
Yeah. So, you mentioned that's a tough ratio. And I would say one of the things I appreciate is that's actually forced us to be really strategic in our approach. And so that's led to some really cool progress within how we've built our management system, I would say. But yeah, so there's 11 of us in the team, including myself. And, our goal is really to engage all levels of the organization. So at times you'll see our team out there, talking to the front line, but you'll also see us out there having conversations with the CEO of Ohio Health. And in any of those conversations, we've really taken on the role of figuring out what is their role and how can we help coach them and how they can show up every day to drive organizational progress.
When you say they, you're referring to leaders inside the organization?
Leaders, staff, one of those 35,000 people, how do they show up understanding how they contribute to the bigger picture?
Yeah, the big thing, right? It's everybody's job. I say it's, everybody who walks in the doors of one of our, whether it's our hospitals or our outpatient centers or our primary care offices or the corporate world, everybody has two jobs when they come to work every day. It's how do we work and improve our work? Or how do we do our job and how do we improve our work? And so really, we all need to understand what that looks like, regardless of what level of the organization we are at. I think we won't have that goal of 35,000 problem solvers if we just focus on one of those areas of the organization.
Mm. So something that we talked about before we start recording this podcast is, and you mentioned it earlier, Emily, but the need to be strategic. Part of that's because of the limited resources that you have available to your team, but also because in any organization, you need to be focused on the key problems the organization is trying to solve to achieve those objectives. Walk us through how you go about aligning with leadership on how your team is going to support Ohio Health's strategic objectives.
Yeah, so I would say, this is definitely a fun portion of the work that we do. Certainly, it's not all of the work we do. But I would consider our approach to deploying goals pretty sophisticated at this point. And it has absolutely been a journey to get to where we are today. But at this point, our team has a really close partnership with both the strategy team as well as the operators across the organization at all levels. All the way at the start of this process, as we're setting strategic goals, we begin with a strategy team and we let them own setting that highest level strategy for the organization. And so, they'll start by looking at what's our current performance of the organization, what's going on out there in the market externally, what are our competitors doing? They'll take all of that information, meet with our senior leadership team, and then really lock in what are those few critical strategic priorities for our organization for this upcoming year. As an output of that, they're also looking at who are the clear owners of these initiatives, what are the measures of success for these initiatives, and then that's the point at which strategy hands off to us. And so even though we sit there for that conversation, they lead that, and then we take over, and they then join part of the conversation as we're facilitating that next portion. And so for us at Ohio Health, we really use a three-phase approach to deploying the output of what our strategy team has developed. So for us, that is our Hoche and Connery process. We call it goal deployment. And that three-phase approach consists of wave zero, wave one, and wave two. And so in wave zero, that's kind of where we initially take the output of that strategy session with those few critical strategic initiatives. And we pull together all of our senior vice presidents and we actually go through those initiatives and we assign what are the markets or divisions within the business that are actually going to be responsible or on point for driving these strategic initiatives forward. So we have that session. It's a really productive session. We also all agree on our measures of success in that meeting. And then we actually hand off to wave one. So wave one is now where each of those different markets and divisions hold their own retreat, if you will, in which they're looking at what was cascaded to them. And within that, each of the hospitals, for example, there's, you know, six hospitals within one market. They're going to go through and they're actually going to identify which of those hospitals need to be on point for driving that initiative forward. And if it is them, is that work that is breakthrough strategic work? You know, it's a big, heavy lift and they need to develop a team around it and form an action plan. Or is that maybe more living in the realm of those small iterative changes where they can work toward their goal, which we call operational excellence? So that all occurs in wave one. So output of wave one is, for example, a hospital specifically saying, I know I'm on point for driving, for taking point on this strategic initiative for the organization. So from there, we go to our final wave, which is wave two. And that's where each of our hospitals, our business units are actually going to develop specific work teams for each of the strategic initiatives that have been cascaded to them. They're going to develop an A3 action plan. And then really, they're going to use the action plan to drive their progress throughout the year. And I think, too, Matt, one of the things that's really unique about what we do is at the end of all of that, we have what we call a catchball session. So each of our hospitals passes along their X matrix, and we pull back together that initial group of individuals who was there at wave zero. And so for us, that's our senior vice president. They all get together, and really, they've got three main objectives. One is, you know, did we accidentally play the game of telephone? As goals were cascaded, did we maybe misinterpret the goal and we landed on something that wasn't our original intent? So we're going to confirm the goals were interpreted as they were intended. Secondarily, it's our chance for any of the teams, any of the hospitals, for example, to raise their hand and say, I know that these things were cascaded to me. However, I don't feel I have the capacity or the resources to take on all of these things. So we give them the venue to bring that back forward. And if, you know, if they do raise their hand, at that point, we can actually prioritize, hey, here are the top things we would like you to focus on if you feel you don't have capacity to do all of these. And then lastly, we're really confirming, we started with this amount of strategic initiatives. Did all of them actually end up making their way onto an X matrix somewhere down, further down the line within the organization? So really throughout all of this, it's become a really neat partnership between our team, the Lean Promotion Office, as well as the strategy team and the operators.
Okay, so it sounds like it's doing a couple of things. One is cascading those high-level strategic objectives from like top-level management down to the actual units that are going to be implementing the plan, so vertical alignment. But also that last step where the different levels have a chance to convene to make sure that they, in fact, are aligned. And like you said, that game of telephone didn't take place and things were misinterpreted. And also things were covered comprehensively. And so OhioHealth feels like its strategic objectives are completely covered in the action plans developed by the units. How long has that process been going on inside of OhioHealth?
Yeah, well, I mentioned earlier, it's been a journey. So we actually started Hoche and Connery right at the beginning. So 2006, we started Hoche and Connery. Now, since 2020, we've become a lot more advanced and mature in our approach, where we actually are cascading throughout the system. Okay. If I were to take you back to 2006, what it looked like at that time was we would ask each individual hospital to just figure out, what are your 3 to 5 year goals? Like, who do you want to be when you grow up? Hospital A, and then they could determine that independently of what maybe the system strategy was. And so really since 2020, we started with a wave zero and actually started saying, let's start at that highest level of the organization and then cascade its way down. So it's definitely become and felt a lot more effective over the last 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Tough year to overhaul your strategic planning process 2020.
You know, but, why not? Why
like
not?
It worked.
One more thing. Great catalyst, right? One of the biggest things to help create change is instability. And so I think in general, as healthcare experienced, I'm sure every industry experienced a ton of instability, but healthcare definitely was faced with many challenges during 2020. And I think it provided the clarity that we needed in order to continue to improve and iterate on the process.
Hmm. So there's the strategic planning process, and it's one thing to create a strategy. It's another thing to actually implement the strategy. And that's often where things fall apart for organizations. They feel really good about the plan they create. But come, say, March, April, May, it's hard to identify how the organization is making progress toward that strategy, or even if the strategy continues to exist at all. And that's where a management system can be extremely useful, and how the daily management system ties to the higher level objectives of an organization can be very powerful. And I'm curious to hear from Ali about how that functions. You know, how does the management system function inside of Ohio Health so that you're able to actualize that annual plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so great question. There's a lot of elements of our management system. And so I think to answer your question, focusing on goal deployment will be the right move. And so when we think of goal deployment, we have two very distinct, what I call arms of our goal deployment. We have the strategy, the breakthrough, the how do we land a man on the moon that Emily just walked through. And then we have that other, but just as equally important side, which is that operational excellence. She also mentioned those are smaller, iterative improvements that need to be made. What do we need to know to run our business today? These are our basic foundational metrics, right? And so when we think about cascading, we actually do it slightly differently for each arm, but each arm does have a robust cascade and actually a feedback loop back up, which is really great. So when we think about the breakthrough goal deployment, Emily talked through the annual development cycle, but after that, we have monthly reviews. And by we, I mean really our business unit leaders and their executive teams and those focused area owners. And so they have created an A3 with a robust action plan and targets to improve. So they have metrics they're measuring on a monthly basis the lines of how do we know that we're moving in the right direction, in addition to what is that annual target? So what are some leading indicators, and then what is that annual target? And so for each specific focus area, there is a review at that executive team level on a monthly basis. And then the cascade back up, each of those executives actually cascade that review on a quarterly basis to their senior leaders as well. And so for a breakthrough, that is the process that we use. And then if we were to look at that other different but equally important arm for operational excellence, that is where we start to cascade some of the metrics that we measure for our accountability. At Ohio Health, we have defined success using a balanced scorecard. So we have four distinct areas that we look at that we know we need to focus on, so that way we're not super heavy on just finance or just culture, so on and so forth. That operational excellence is cascaded all the way down to our lean daily management, so our department levels. We have dashboards that exist that also help us understand those leading indicators for those outcome measures as well. And so they review it actually in the same meeting. So they're reviewing both elements of their goal deployment and use countermeasures for both of those elements as well. When we are not meeting target, what are we learning? What are we trying? Did it have the impact that we expected to see as well? And so there's rigor and around both of those particular areas. The unique thing with the operational excellence side is that it goes a little bit deeper to the front line. When we think about strategy deployment, is the bedside nurse always involved in those decisions and that work? Probably not, right? Their job is to provide daily operational excellence. And so they start to get involved a lot more on that side. So that's where we have actually integrated into our lean daily management system, where we are reviewing what do I need to know in this department to be successful today within those quadrants? What do I need to measure that would tell me if I'm being successful or not? And then how can we start to improve things that we've noticed are opportunities on this department, right? And so if we were measuring something like a quality indicator overall for the hospital, and this particular nursing unit has a huge impact on the overall outcome, and they're not meeting their targets, that's where we start to utilize KPIs and trend charts and Paretos and five whys and action plans, and getting the problem solving as close to the work as possible really lends to creating those 35,000 problem solvers, but also solves the right problem the right way, right? And so I think many leaders understand they're subject matter experts. They're great. The environment is constantly changing, so there's no better person to understand and improve a process than the people who are doing it every day.
Okay, so it's got a couple different arms. The strategic breakthrough stuff. These are the, like you said, land. How do we land a man on the moon? That's a nice way to put it. And then you have the day-to-day operations to make sure you're delivering great patient care. Could you walk us through, I mean, how does that manifest? Is there like a daily huddle or something that clinicians are participating in?
Yes. So we do have a daily huddle, actually a shift huddle. Depends on the clinician, but we also have our KPI boards in non-clinical areas, our patient registration area, our facilities and engineering area, all of these areas, right? They're all supply chain, all responsible for understanding how they can continue to improve their work. And so each department does have a shift huddle. So the beginning of a shift, how can we all get on the same page and know that we are rowing the boat in the same direction? And it's quick. It does not need to be 30 minutes. If we've identified an opportunity, we ask for volunteers who wants to work on this 5Y later, so on and so forth. And so it's really moving through that problem solving process on a daily or shift by shift basis. So we're continuing to move through that pattern that we have set up. Emily, what would you add?
Yeah, you did a nice job. I think, you know, for us, lean daily management, it is the huddle at the KPI board. It is the problem solving occurring at the KPI board. And then the other element I would add where we continue to encourage that problem solving at the front line is we also do daily Gemba walks here at Ohio Health. Mm-hmm. And so every day our leaders are going out, they're visiting each of these units that have a KPI board. And they're hearing each of the departments talk about what are the problems they're focused on solving today. And so our team's role in that is really coaching those leaders how to show up using coaching kata and how to show up in a way in which they are, you know, practicing humble inquiry and being really supportive of the staff and helping, again, focus on that same mission of creating a culture of 35,000 problem solvers.
Mm. Yeah, I would say that as you mentioned earlier, we are a small but mighty team. And so in order to also be strategic, one of our biggest areas is focusing on how do we develop our leaders to be lean leaders? How do we develop our leaders to be coaches, as opposed to sitting much more in that directive space and that subject matter expert space? And so if we can get our leaders in that mindset where they're asking questions to that frontline staff using humble inquiry, where they're moving them through that coaching pattern to help them think differently about the problem that they're trying to solve, we are going to have, I think, an exponential impact on the organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the goal, to try to create 35,000 problem solvers. So let's say the huddle's taking place and some problems come up. What happens next? How is that problem getting solved? How do you know if the person facing the problem is capable of solving it? And how do you develop that person to become a good problem solver?
That's a great question. So again, the huddle isn't for the problem solving itself, right? And so there is a, okay, who wants to own this? When do we expect to have this done by? Great. So we need that who, what, when, and where, right? To follow up. And so let's say, for instance, if this is a nursing department and we recognize there's an opportunity in a specific KPI that we're measuring, there can be volunteers to take on some of that problem solving. So understanding what is the root cause, how can we use that 5Y? And that might take a little bit of time. So one of the things that's also a focus for us is how do we help our leaders create space for folks to jump into that problem solving? I think one of the things that we also focus on is creating a very psychologically safe environment to fail forward. Nothing is ever perfect the first time you try it, but the most important thing is to start trying things, right? Momentum greatly matters. And obviously, as long as it's not a impact to patient safety, if it's a process change in how we schedule or so on and so forth, who's to say? Like, what can we try? As long as we have that PDSA cycle in place that allows us to evaluate the effectiveness of our action and say, did it work? Did it have any impact? Is it better? Is it worse? Do we need to go back to the drawing board? How can we lateralize this? So all of that is actually built into the visual management on our KPI boards. And so not only do our KPI boards have the day-to-day results of the things we know are important to work on, they also leverage visual management to move folks through that process. And so you could go up to the board and see them, see the 5-why. You can see the action plan. You can see when they plan to launch it and when they're going to follow up to review its effectiveness. You can see when they tried something new on the trend chart. And did it have an impact that we expected to see? And so in general, when we're going around to Gemba, when our leaders are going around, those are also things that they look for, right? We don't want this to just be a coloring book on the wall where we're documenting certain things. We want it to be a tool that actually helps us move through this process. And sometimes it does take a little bit of time to coach folks there, but the return on that investment of time of helping them figure out how to solve a problem versus a manager just jumping in and solving it is so great. And we do continue to help folks realize, yes, that return on investment of time will pay dividends eventually, right? When we get to these 35,000 problem solvers.
Mm. Well, both of you are going to be joining us at the Lean Summit in March in Carlsbad, California. I almost forgot where it was for a second there. And you're going to be talking about... you know, helping leaders understand what good looks like, kind of what you just described there, Allie. You know, how can a leader understand the value of developing problem-solving capability versus providing the solution, directing action, and the payoff for that investment? But how do you get a leader to understand the value behind that? And it is a challenge, you know, there's so many... there are a lot of different approaches, tools. It's confusing about exactly how to go about doing this stuff. I suppose LEI is part of that problem. I guess, I don't know, probably a little bit. But how do you go about doing that? How do you convince leaders of, you know, behaving, how to be, it's worth behaving differently. Maybe Emily, you can speak to that a bit.
Yeah. So I think in general, one thing we've tried to do with our approach to lean, really across our entire journey here has been, how do we make it simple and how do we make it standardized? And I think that's really critical. So even jumping back to the Lean Daily Management with all of the examples Allie shared, you can walk up to any one of our 600 KPI boards at Ohio Health and it looks the same. There are the same expectations around when you problem solve. There are the same expectations for coaches. They all have the same coaching kata cheat sheet in front of them. And we found that that really helped us be successful. And we've kind of taken that same methodology and applied it toward these tools and really saying, gosh, how do we actually move forward and being incredibly clear on what good looks like for Ohio Health? And so we built out two separate tools to serve two completely different purposes, but both have that intent of really sharing, here is, we just want to give you clarity around what good looks like. And so one of the tools is focused on our management system and specifically the elements within our management system. And then on the flip side, the other one is actually focused on the leader behaviors. And we see both elements there being equally important in a management system, right? So both the elements, the tools, the processes, but if you don't have those behaviors supporting it, your management system is going to fail. And so we knew we couldn't create one without the other. So for us at Ohio Health, you know, we do a lot of the things within a management system, right? And so our team completes around 60 Kaizen and A3s a year. We facilitate goal deployment. We support tiered huddles. We're doing all of these things. Our sites are out there doing all of these things. But what we wanted to do was actually build a tool that would allow them to assess where they are in their journey. So not only are they doing it, but actually how well are they doing it? And it also gives them a path forward, right? With what does good look like, and where am I in that journey, and what's actually remaining? What can my step forward from here look like? And so the first tool focused on our management system and actually calls out all of those major elements of our management system and quite literally provides a scale, which allows them to self-categorize their progression within each of those elements. And it starts with not present, and it works its way through, you know, it's present, we have based application, we're proficient, all the way to ideal. So for each of the elements, we're literally defining what good looks like and where they can be in their journey and asking them to self-assess it. And then on the flip side of that, we have the tool that really focuses on our lean leader behaviors. And so we started by identifying what are those lean leader principles, those 10 lean leader principles that we want all of our leaders to exhibit. And then even more specifically, not only what are the principles, but how can you show up through your behavior to exhibit each of these principles? And this tool is also built to be a self-assessment where they can go through and they can identify where they are in their journey, bring that tool to their leader and have a conversation that can essentially inform their development plan. Like, what's next for me in my journey toward becoming a really strong leader here at Ohio Health?
Mm. So it gives a chance to see sort of a gap between your current state as a leader and where you want to go in the future as a leader. Early on, what was the reception toward that? Was it positive?
Yeah,
I could imagine that being a bit of a struggle early on. Okay. Or how was that?
Yeah, so on the leader side, we launched it with a focus group, they were hungry for it, actually, more so than we anticipated. You know, we built it as a self-assessment tool, and we actually had leaders who were like, wow, I want to take this and I want to give it to my team, and I want them to tell me what they think about my leadership. And so we had people really taking it even further than we anticipated, which we love. And then, you know, on the flip side, with the management system assessment tool, as we rolled that out, the primary intent really was to inform the lead roadmap at each of the hospitals. And so we could talk with them about where you are today and what does that mean for what's next for you in your journey, like customize their journey according to where they are. But what was really cool is it was actually so well received, including by our senior leadership team here at Ohio Health, that our market presidents, who all of our hospital presidents report through, were so excited about it that they said, I think this is how we're going to make progress. And I'm actually going to ask each of my hospital presidents to include progression in their accountabilities. And so each one of our hospital presidents actually have an accountability built in around progressing the management system. And this tool is used as really the foundation for how they're going to assess that. So again, really well received. It went further than we thought, and it's led to some really awesome conversations with our hospitals and our different business units that we support.
Yeah, I would add, I think, Emily, part of that reception, which I think you can actually see echoed throughout our entire management system, but part of that reception, as Emily mentioned, the leader behavior tool being a self-assessment, but so is the management system assessment tool. And so we act in a really like consultative advisory role in our system, which actually I think leads to our success. Is it's not me going out there and launching things. It's me talking with a leader about the importance of, here's how this is successful. Here's the risks of doing it this way. Here's the benefits this could provide. Let me know when you're ready to talk about what it takes to get there. And I think because we operate off of a pool system, I think people just, it's much more palatable. And our leaders are in different places. And so sometimes we focus on one thing in the management system at a specific business unit, and another one is focusing on another element. And that's great. But I think part of it is we can sit here and we do have those conversations where if they're like, we're ideal in this, and they're clearly not, we can talk them through it. Like, tell me more. How do you, what are you seeing that would give you evidence that we are in ideal? So on and so forth. We have those conversations. I think we've built very strong relationships with our leaders across the system. And so we can talk through where, you know, where we see gaps, but ultimately the onus of progression of this work throughout the management system is on our leaders, right? Like, we do not own the process improvement. We do not own XYZ. We sit in that consultative role, which I think is really helpful. Sometimes it is a long game, right? Like, sometimes it takes a little bit longer than, of course, we would like, because we're super excited and we know the benefits of certain elements. But ultimately, that ownership piece is monumental in making the progress in both how we behave as leaders and the specific elements that we have in our management system as well.
Well, nobody likes change being done to them, especially if it's change that's completely irrelevant to the challenges that they face. So it sounds like you've managed to avoid both of those pitfalls by working in this sort of consultative manner, and also kind of meeting the leader where they're at, leveraging this assessment tool to figure out, you know, exactly where are the gaps in their you know, leader and management system capabilities, and then addressing those gaps versus saying, hey, here's how we're going to do this. Now everybody go do it. Nobody likes that. Well, I guess what's been the result? I mean, we've been speaking in sort of generic terms about the results of all of this hard work, but can you speak to any of the results for Ohio Health or, you know, patient outcomes, things like that?
Yeah. So we launched the management system assessment tool before we launched the leader behavior assessment tool. And so I think we're probably at a year now of that. And I think outside of what Emily already mentioned in terms of folks saying, yes, let's use this to measure our progress, which has created a significant pull on getting back to standard and continuing to move closer to ideal. And so we've seen significant increase in alignment as well for a lot of the things that we do. And how does a lab technician know what they do on their shift? How do they know that they're contributing to the success of the hospital and the overall business unit? And so we've really created clarity, which may or may not have always been there. And we know with clarity comes good results. And so I think we have seen some of that as well in multiple areas of our business. But if folks need to know where they're going, right? We need to be able to clearly identify where we're going in order to get us there. Can't just live in the heads of the lean subject matter experts, right? And so that has been amazing to also see our leaders continue to use the language appropriately and not just parrot back some of the things that we're saying. Like, they get it. And so culturally, I think it's had a massive shift. And then for the leader behavior assessment tool, we actually launched that at the end of last June. So still fresh. But again, as Emily mentioned, there's been a hunger for this. We've had a lot of new leaders over the past 4 years, a lot of people who've stepped up into leadership roles, people who are going into different departments, and they have the what they do pretty clear, right? These are the tasks that are my responsibility as a manager, but how they do it was always a little bit ambiguous. Like, is it, you know, how I talk to an associate or how I show up? Do I have one-on-ones? Do I sit in that coaching space more than I sit in that directive space? It was never in like one place. And so we would have all these different areas where we would have development for our leaders, because we have an amazing leadership talent development team here at Ohio Health that has just an amazing library of resources and programs and all of those things. But for a frontline leader or a new executive or a new director, what is the one tool that I can have in one page and evaluate myself over time that I can help use or help really understand where I am? Where do I want to be? Where should I be shooting for? What are my opportunities? How do I fold this into my development plan and communicate it to my leader so they can hold me accountable to continue to develop that as well? And so That is, we're still, we have not saturated that throughout the entire organization, but we have had a significant uptick of folks taking a course that really helps launch that tool. Because again, it's not just a tool that's out there for folks to click on and use. There's a little bit of prep work that we actually do to increase their understanding of the tool and that psychological safety that's needed to really evaluate where you actually are. I think I've seen a statistic where it's like 15% of people are actually self-aware, which is shocking because I'm like, oh, I must be in that 15%. Clearly, I think we all think that.
Well, if you were self-aware, you probably wouldn't put yourself right, in that 15%, exactly. Right?
Well, exactly. And so, so there is a little bit of prep work, right, in helping get leaders into that space where we feel vulnerable enough and there's a lot of psychological safety to be like, yeah, I'm not showing up the best I can in this particular way. And here are some resources that I have in order to close some of those gaps. Emily, what would you add?
Yeah, I think the other thing that's really interesting and how this took off is, so I report to the Chief Operating Officer of Ohio Health, and I shared this tool with him when we built it, and he just ate it up. He said, this is so great. I love this. And as we continue to share this with our leaders, we continue to get that response. And a lot of the conversation as we're exposing this tool to leaders was, wow, I've never quite been able to put a finger on exactly the conversation I needed to have with some of my leaders. Like, I knew there was opportunity, but this takes it from being subjective to objectively, here's what we want to expect of our leaders, and here's what good looks like. And we can really morph that into a two-way conversation, right? And so because it does start with a self-assessment, it becomes awesome. I see you've identified these things as an opportunity for you moving forward. How can I help support you in that? Right. Rather than these leaders having to try to communicate things that weren't even really documented anywhere. And then, you know, the problem you would run into is what leaders expect of their leaders might actually vary. Right. And so this kind of sets the one standard of, say, here's what good looks like. And I can now have conversation centered around this tool.
Okay. So having a standardized way for people to evaluate their, well, two things, their leader behavior and the management system that they're using to sustain good performance, and then giving the responsibility to assess that on the person, which is interesting because it makes it, it feels certainly not punitive, but reflective. It causes the person to think internally, you know, what could I be doing differently? To be influencing these things. How important do you think that is, by the way, that self-assessment piece versus, you know, having, you know, what do they call them? 360 reviews and all this stuff. How do you think?
I think it's critically important in getting them bought into the tool and not showing up defensive, right? Yeah. Because then it is, there's no harm in having somebody self-assess where they are, especially when what we've included in the tool is so clear that it is a yes or no, right? And so they're going in and they're assessing it. And then I think that then leads to really healthy conversations, almost like a catch ball type conversation, right? Of me showing up and saying, hey, I think here's my opportunity. It still gives that leader the chance to say, tell me a little bit more about why you would rate yourself as having completed this behavior consistently. Like, can you share with me some examples of what that might look like? I think it just sets everybody up for success rather than, I think when you have it as, you know, I'm going to complete this on behalf of my leaders that I report to or the leaders who report to me, at that point, you know, it's Emily's thoughts. And I think it just adds a lot more value when it's that self-reflection. I know what good looks like. And even, you know, we've got leaders showing up on their first day. Can you imagine being handed a document on your first day that says, here's what success looks like for you? Not only the tasks you need to be doing, right, which they're probably getting offline, but here's how I want you to show up every day. On day one, you have that clarity. I think that's what we're seeking.
Well, you probably can't have one without the other, right? So if it's not clear, you're not telling them, you know, like you're saying, here's what good looks like. There's no way for them to successfully self-evaluate. They have no idea how they're doing vis-a-vis what the target is. I suppose absent that, the self-assessment may not be so successful.
I think Emily covered it pretty well. I don't think it would be as successful in general if it wasn't a self-assessment. Because again, the responsibility of our development is on us. But we want to create a cultural wave of how can we help each other? How can we help, you know, develop people? How can we create that clarity that really helps people set up for success? A firm believer of everybody wakes up in the morning, wants to do a good job. I personally do not know a single soul that's like, I would love to be subpar today. But what's getting in their way? And I think when we kind of peeled that back a little bit, some of it was there wasn't 100% clear, deep dive explanations of like the specific behaviors that would make me a successful leader in our organization. So we identified that gap and started to help close it in partnership with our leadership development team.
Thank you, Emily and Allie, for joining me here on the podcast and looking forward to seeing you in three dimensions, not just on Zoom here, in March in Southern California. Thanks for joining me.
Awesome. Thanks Matt.
I'd like to thank Emily and Allie once again for joining me here on the podcast. As mentioned, they will be joining us at the summit on March 19th and 20th. They're leading a learning session called Journey Toward Ideal, Defining What Good Looks Like. They're going to be talking about that leader assessment that they spoke about during the podcast. There's still time to register. Head over to lean.org/summit to do that. Thanks to you all for listening. Until next time.